All right, let's kick it. How we living on this Wednesday? Welcome in. From 10 to 1, we are excited to be here with you. Lucas is here. I am here. We are actively waiting. Actively waiting? Is that an oxymoron? Either way, we're excited to have you a part of the show today. If you want to get involved, 615-737-1045 is how you do so. 615-737-1045. Got a lot of good stuff to give away for the continued celebration of Dad's Week. We'll tell you how you can win a couple of different tickets during the dumbest thing in sports this week. That is on the horizon. In the meantime, we're going to spend a lot of time on what I saw out at St. Thomas Sports Park yesterday. Titans minicamp, day one. Day two will take place today. Sounds like they're not going to have any practice tomorrow. It will just be instead some in-the-building work. But, you know, like Ron Slay, they're in the building. They won't be out on the practice field on Thursday. Speaking of in the building over at St. Thomas Sports Park, just so you know, Mike Vrabel's going to be on the show tomorrow. That will be a lot of fun as well to have the head coach of the Titans on for the first time. But what I saw yesterday with a more full picture, a fuller picture of what this roster is going to look like. There's still a handful of guys who aren't out there, but to see Derrick Henry, Roger Saffold, guys like Janoris Jenkins, Danico Autry, you're starting to get a better grasp on what exactly this team is going to look like, the parts that are going to be involved, the people who are going to be the main contributors. Now, no reported absences. A lot of people, though, not physically on the practice field. Something to keep in mind. So, like, I didn't see, you know, just to go down the list of people that I wrote down yesterday. One of the kickers, Blake Hobble, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. AJ Brown, still working through his rehabilitation process. Former wide receiver too. We'll see if Julio Jones can't usurp him. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, not available to the Titans yesterday. Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, Maurice Smith, Bud Dupree. No Jayon Brown, no Monty Rice. I did not see Aaron Brewer, Ty Sambrello. Taylor Lewan was not on the practice field, but he was in the facility because he came out to tell me how much weight I've gained. And then walked back in with a smirk on his face. So, glad to see that he's in good spirits. Whatever weight that I've gained, he's lost, by the way. He looks so much physically different than he does during football season. And I wonder what the process for an offensive lineman to kind of put that weight back on looks like. Because you see this all the time, not to get sidetracked, but you see this all the time with guys like Joe Thomas or Marshall Yanda after that, these big, bulky, blocky offensive linemen, after they retire, they just look like regular human beings outside of being, you know, 6'5 or 6'6. Juan looks more like a tight end right now than he does a left tackle. So whatever I found, it's weight that he's lost. But the thing that made me stop and watch, basically all during practice yesterday, the thing non-Julio Jones division, was Janoris Jenkins, man. That dude has so much energy, so much life that he kind of breathes into those practices because he is hyper-aggressive, I think, is an understatement. Janoris Jenkins, I mean, he's got a reputation. He's got a long career at this point in the league, playing at a high level for several different teams between the Rams, the Giants, last couple of years, the Saints, before he lands here in Tennessee. And at 32 years old, you know, there's a lot of questions, just like Julio, a lot of questions about how much players in that stage, in that phase of their careers, how much they have left. It's one mini camp practice. And so I should not sell out, I guess, entirely for what I saw from Janoris yesterday. But what I saw excited me. What I saw set an example for the rest of the players on the field. So much so, honestly, that Mike Vrabel spoke to that as well. Here was the head coach after the first day of mandatory minicamp talking about what he's looking for from his secondary, from his defensive backs specifically, and why Janoris Jenkins is a good example.
Well, I think what we want our DBs to do is be not let their man catch the ball in man coverage and play with great vision and break in zone coverage. That's what we want him to do. Janoris has shown that throughout his career. Love his energy as a player. It's fun to coach. Smile on his face. And He loves football. You know, I mean, I think that guys that have done it at a high level in this league, you know, are great resources for younger players, for coaches to have conversations with and try to help. And I think Janoris would be certainly one of those guys.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking with the media yesterday. The energy is different this year. I don't know how to describe it. But Lucas and I, we were talking about this in the green room. By the way, Lucas, good morning. Hello. How are you?
Good morning. I am well.
Are you so locked in on Euro soccer that you are not participating yet this morning?
No, there's no game happening right now. Finland and Russia has concluded. It will be Turkey-Wales coming up at 11, and then Italia playing Switzerland at 2.
Is that why you're decked out in your soccer shirt?
I am wearing my Milan jersey, yes.
Very nice. Anyway, so the energy at practice right now, I guess it's not technically practice. The energy throughout the course of this offseason, it's different. There's never been a time, at least in my time here in Nashville, where there's been this much excitement around the Titans. I don't think necessarily I don't want to say my lifetime, because obviously I was alive during the Super Bowl run when they went with Steve McNair and Eddie George and that horrific loss to the Rams, the way that it ended with just a knife in your all's side.
Yeah, but how conscious were you of football at that time?
I was not conscious at all of me football, neither. Nor anything. I was barely. I mean, are you potty trained at 3 years old? I feel like not.
I have no idea. Like, I don't even know if you're talking or walking by 3 years old. I have no concept of what it takes to raise a child.
It's good that you don't have that responsibility on your plate. I too have zero idea about what age is normal for people to start, you know, using the facilities properly. This is my thing with children. You can't reason with them. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to defecate. They don't know how to talk to you efficiently. This is why they drive me crazy. Anyway, don't get me distracted, Lucas. Damn it. We had a coherent thought. But for the energy at practice, it is cool to see. Lucas and I were talking about this in the green room. It's cool to see a football team that's as hype about what's going on around them as the fan base is. And I think Jack Rabbit, as he prefers to be called, Janoris Jenkins, he brings that kind of juice. Julio Jones's presence has that effect across the board. There has never been this much energy around the local professional football team. They feel it. You feel it. We feel it. It makes all the difference in the world. Buck's Adderall medication says, need some? Yes, probably. Probably. I think, I wonder if I do need an Adderall prescription. Like, not to get into personal prescriptions on the air, but I wonder if I, because I've never been prescribed anything, and I'm clearly, you know, out of my mind with ADD and ADHD and all manner of other crap that makes it, honestly, the only reason that I can do this job this way is because of my ADD, because there's a million moving parts during a live radio show, and it's the only way that I can keep up, even if it sounds like I'm, you know, running all over the place. But yes, Buck's Adderall medication in the comments on Twitch. Hit me up. The plug in the Twitch comments. I really enjoy the environment that you're sensing from the Titans right now. At this stage, when there's not a lot, I mean, it's tough. Any of you who played high school football know what kind of slog it is to go out, or any level of football, whether you played in college, whether you were D2, whether as far as you went in organized high school football was high school, you know what a slog summer conditioning and summer workouts are. They were the worst. They're good for team building activities because at least you're miserable together and you create those bonds. But it is cool to see the enthusiasm that the Titans are showing right now in the same way that kind of mirrors what the fan base is feeling around them. It doesn't always go that way.
Yeah, they want to be there, right?
They seem to want to be there. Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill, I mean, now it's mandatory for them to be there, otherwise there's fines. But during the voluntary portion, they seem to want to be here. They recognize their window. They recognize what they've been put in position to do. And that's the kind of energy that they're giving off on the practice field, which can only mean good things as we carry this in. Now, at some point, of course, during training camp, it's going to lag because that's miserable. You're in the middle of July. It's oppressively humid outside. It feels like Nashville, Tennessee feels like a sauna. And then a reminder, they go to Tampa for a couple of weeks, basically at the end of July, early August. That's not easy to do. So how they maintain that is going to be on them. But at this point, these are the kinds of things that you're looking for, how they're working together now that the rookies and veterans have been integrated amongst each other. At this point, a lot of things seem to be going the way that you would anticipate or the way that you would want them to if you're a fan of this team, looking at them and saying, okay, are they feeling this the same way that I am? Are they prepared to live up to the expectations that people have set for them? I think that's something. Energy is something that we talked to Coach Mack about. It's like momentum, right? It's not quantifiable. It's just this mystical, magical NFL cliche that we use all the time. But when you recognize it when you see it, and that's, I think, what the sense that a lot of the media and a lot of the team, the coaches, we've talked to the players as well on Zoom, understandably, but it seems like that is permeating everything that they do right now. Lebowski says on Twitch, 100% feels different this year. Clowney went out of his way to miss all of the offseason. Beasley was picking up trucks and musing starting a church while Wilson was wrecking cars on his way to a four-minute rap career. Yes, that is summed up efficiently.
The vibes are different.
All right. I was looking throughout the entire course of that segment a way to avoid saying the word vibes.
You're welcome.
Because I've taken a stance against that. No, not you're welcome. Hell out of here. When we come back, though, I want you guys, because there's a lot of stuff that is going on right now, and this is the last week that we'll see them for some time, understanding that the NFL is getting ready to take its summer vacation after mandatory minicamps break. There are a lot of guys that you're seeing right now out on the practice field. You're going to hear from one of the guys that you aren't coming up next, Bud Dupree. I want to know from the audience, because I think there are a great many players that they are interested in seeing at this point that are not available to them. Between A.J. Brown, Caleb Farley, Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, among the biggest of those names. Which player are you most excited or who you most want back out on the practice field as soon as possible? I'm not saying that we're going to see them. Today would be the last day because they're not practicing tomorrow, according to Mike Vrabel. But who are you most anxious to get back out there among the players who are not currently available? Because we've seen the guys who are, but I want to know how you feel about the guys who aren't yet visible to the public and to the media. We'll talk about that coming up next, and we'll get into a conversation about Bud Dupree, what he had to say after mandatory minicamp yesterday, all that and more. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Working on this Wednesday. So will the Tennessee Titans be back out on the practice field right after we wrap up here at 1 o'clock. I'm excited to see what else is going to happen today. Because day one, lot to take from. Now, there wasn't anything. I gave you my biggest, you know, the biggest thing that stood out to me, non-Julio Jones division. But, you know, you're always going to have something to say about Julio. Julio!
Julio!
There he is. You can't watch him all day every day. I mean, you could, but it wouldn't make me neglectful in my duties for covering the whole of the team to just sit there and salivate over what Julio Jones is doing at practice at any given day. Yesterday, the main thing that I saw from him was, you know, there's this picture going around on the internet at this point that Donald Page, their team photographer, took, and it's during a light drill. It's part of the portion that media, well, I should say non-team media, are not allowed to film and photograph, but of course the team employees can do that because, you know, the rules are different. That's fine. Such is life. But it's during a light, like, end zone, corner of the end zone, making catches in the back of the end zone drill. There's probably a more efficient way to describe it, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Just quarterbacks throwing to receivers, hanging out in the back of the end zone, practicing. They're continuing to rep things out together. So DeShone Kizer is throwing passes at this particular moment and throws one pretty far above Julio Jones's head. By the way, future Titans backup quarterback, DeShone Kizer, we should say. I'm pretty entrenched in that position, Lucas, the more that I watch him. So Kizer kind of throws one high, and Julio, I mean, I'm telling you, easily 3 foot off the ground, just skies like a damn pterodactyl in the air, blots out the sun because he goes up one hand, snags this thing, brings it down with one paw. But I mean, I'm telling you, he landed so hard on his back, I would have cut Kizer right then and there. If Julio Jones would have gotten hurt, I'd have sent him packing. Get out. Without question. If Julio Jones had come up, you know, with any kind of ailment. But he pulls this ball in. He comes crashing down. He hits the ground hard. Whole place goes quiet. Like the media, the training staff, the equipment people, the coaches, the players, everybody's just looking at the corner of this end zone on the first field. Not the third field, because you know that I'm not allowed to look at the third field. But he got up. He was fine. Everybody, you know, you just hear this sigh of relief. It was like anytime Marcus Mariota made a dive at the end zone. That's what it kind of felt like, where everybody, you know, your butt cheeks just clench because you're tight. You're looking at this thing. Anybody who's got any kind of investment in the Titans is looking at this thing, this massive investment that they've just made, and hoping, let him get up off the ground. Tannehill, when he came down awkwardly, I
think it was the Bills game.
What one finger roll celebration where he just kind of planted funny on the foot that he came down on, and you're just like, oh my God, don't do that ever again. Even though you love the finger roll, but yeah, everybody, if I'm Vrabel, I am bubble wrapping the hell out of Julio Jones today. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him anywhere near the practice field. I don't care if he's not hurt. Get inside. Don't do that again. Keep your feet physically on the ground until September the 12th. At that point, then you can start, you know, making acrobatic catches through the air, flying through the sky, the way that we saw Julio Jones, the way that we have seen Julio Jones now through a couple of workouts at the Titans practice facility. The jet took off, says Drink More Water on Periscope. He 100% did, man.
Eclipse over St. Thomas Sports Park.
I'm telling you, he straight up blotted out the sun yesterday. And then he brought basically as he came down on his back, he brought the facility, literally the facility, to its knees, hoping that he was okay. 615-737-1045. But it wasn't all the Julio show yesterday. And it's not even just about who was out on the practice field, because we talked to a variety of players. And if you want to get involved, 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045 is how you join the conversation. It wasn't just about Julio Jones, because yesterday was the first time that we've had the opportunity to talk to Bud Dupree since he signed here. You saw the reported details of Bud. He came on the morning show with J. Mark Ramon, because, of course, him and Ramon Foster are former teammates. And then he did his media availability with us, I believe, the next day. So it's been basically since, what, April that we've talked to this guy. So in talking to Bud Dupree, obviously there's the answers about, or the questions about where he is in his rehabilitation process. That was what basically led off the conversation. So here is Bud Dupree, because everybody's asking for updates on Dupree, on Lawan, on A.J. Brown, and of course on Caleb Farley. But this is the latest on Bud Dupree from the horse's mouth.
Well, I'm recovering well. I'm on schedule. As far as when they'll let me practice and stuff, I really want to know. It's up to them to like decide how they want to do it, how they want to go forth with it. But on my end, I'm doing pretty good and taking it day by day, you know, just excited for the season ahead.
Yeah, but I know ACLs are fairly routine at this point in the NFL, but how big an impact of the people at Exos that you've been rehabbing with throughout the course of the offseason had on your ability to recover and kind of regain that kind of explosiveness?
Man, you know, XO did a great job, man. I can say that tremendously they did, you know, the effort, the time that we put into it out there in Arizona, and then also in Atlanta too. You know, they sent a group of guys to Atlanta for me so I can be with my family down there. Man, it's just been a tremendous time the whole time, you know, the recovery aspect of, you know, working it hard, but also taking care of my body to make sure I recover well. You know, hats off to them, man. The plan that they set forth for me, man, working tremendously, and I'm just excited about it.
That is Bud Dupree yesterday speaking with the Nashville media. He's in the building, as Ron Slay would say. We should just all four shows should have a Ron Slay in the building drop. at this point.
You are right.
It cracks me up every time we go to break and I just hear him screaming in my ear, I'm in the building! I'm in the building!
Gets me every time.
I can't do it like he does. Nobody can do it like Ron Slay does. As he continues to accumulate bottles of alcohol in the studio. Do they like drink on air during 3HL, by the way? I'm looking at two bottles. I think one is bourbon. The other one, I think the other one's wine, but I
think it's wine.
Either way, Ron Slay is just slowly creating a liquor cabinet at his seat in the 104.5 The Zone studios. But we'll get into more Bud Dupree content here in just a second. You'll hear more from Bud because I had a couple questions for him yesterday. And about how he's going to basically integrate himself with the team. And I thought Corey Curtis and there were a lot of good questions asked of Bud Dupree yesterday that we'll fill you in on here in just a second, but I want to get your involvement as well. 615-737-1045 is how you join the show. Evan is in Nashville. He wants to talk about the Titans. Go ahead, Evan.
What's up, Buck? Sounds like y'all got a
Oh, we lost him. Evan, are you there? Evan, okay, your phone line stinks. Are you with me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Go. My bad.
Okay, cool. So I don't know what that was. But anyway, just had a question. So, you know, you got the whole Julio Jones falling on his back thing. And you always hear the saying, players practice how they play. But then at the same time, you've got Tom Brady lobbying against OTAs on conference calls and all that stuff. So, is basing off your experience, how do you think players toe that line? Is it more of just younger players versus veteran players who need the rest, who know what they're doing, so on and so forth? But how do they find that middle ground?
Hey, I appreciate the call, Evan. 615-737-1045. If you've got any questions, comments, or concerns as we talk Titans over the course of this morning. So, in fact, Lucas, do we have the Rob Moore clip about him talking about Julio Jones? You know, how he basically has earned the right through 10 years in the league at this point, a decade, to have input on how he goes about practicing. Because, Evan, I think this is really telling. I do think it's almost as simple. Now, it's not every case where it's a divide between veterans and rookies or younger players and veterans as to how they manage their body. But when you're somebody like Brady or Julio Jones or even Derrick Henry is starting to enter this kind of stratosphere, you get to have input on how you are managed throughout the course of the week, just as long as it gets you to Sunday.
Being at what he's done already and, thus far in his career, you know, he's earned the right to have some say in terms of how he does things. And I think, you know, in the conversations I've had with him, and there haven't been very many yet, But we've kind of talked about that a little bit in terms of, how he'll progress through the rest of this mini camp and into training camp and how he'll get, you know, how we'll prepare him, you know, as we move forward with the regular season. But, I think it'll be a kind of an open conversation. You know, I'll give him some thoughts that I have and we'll come to a resolution from there.
That's Titans wide receiver coach Rob Moore hanging out with the media on, what was that, Monday, talking about Julio Jones. So, Evan, it's kind of along that same vein. Now, there's different treatment for everybody, apparently, unless you're the Green Bay Packers and you just want to disrespect your future Hall of Fame quarterback in ways that are mind-numbingly stupid to me. By the way, that's a good tease for the dumbest thing in sports this week coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But I think that players, and we'll have Will Compton on today as well. Will has, you know, he's not, I love him to death. He's not a star player, but he is somebody who has made it in the league because of the mental acuity and because he understands how to manage himself physically. That, I think, is the biggest difference for guys who have prolonged careers in the NFL. Julio Jones famously, and we've had this discussion before, Julio Jones famously does not practice the last 2 years during the week. So what you're saying about guys play how they practice, I'm sure there is some truth to that. And I'm sure this has evolved as we have found ways to better manage players physically, certainly in a sport like football, where it is so physical, it is so violent, where there is a 100% chance of injury. I mean, that's the case in almost any sport, but football more so than any other because of the violent collisions that are happening all over the field and the rate of speed at which these guys are flying around, just giant human beings smashing into each other. So what I would say to you is, yeah, it's probably closer to a case-by-case basis, but when you are the kind of player that we're talking about with Julio, yeah, you get to kind of dictate, maybe not dictate, but you get to have conversations with your superiors, for lack of a better term. And I honestly wouldn't even consider like Mike Vrabel Julio Jones's superior. John Robinson is probably in a different class, but I look at the relationship between a guy like Mike and his players, or at least a coach who is willing to accept this role. Vrabel understands the position that he's in. He is there for a reason. He is the final say-so on the football side of things, the football coaching side of things. But I think what Mike really, really takes to his core, and it goes back to his time as a 14-year NFL vet, is that it's a symbiotic relationship. You have to find compromise with your players. You cannot treat it like a dictatorship. It can be closer to a dictatorship than maybe a form of democracy. But there is a better way to work through things diplomatically with your star players, the guys who matter the most, the guys who you're going to rely upon the most, guys like Julio Jones. So I think that's the line that they toe. Now, in the same vein, these guys, when you create these symbiotic relationships with them, and coaches Vrabel, by the way, Mike Vrabel will be on the radio show tomorrow at 11:30, so you're not going to want to miss out on that, and I'm sure I'll ask Mike about that. We get him before the rest of the media does, Lucas, so I can't imagine what it's like to tell Vrabel that he has two media obligations in the same day within an hour of each other. The good thing is we're getting first crack at him, so he can't huff and puff too much about that. But I think we got a fun environment around here. We'll see if we can't get Vrabel to have a little fun tomorrow. But to this extent, you know, Vrabel talks about this a lot. He's not in the locker room with the guys. The locker room is the player's space. As a player himself, he recognizes that, he respects that. But in creating these diplomatic relationships with your players, you then look for your players or the guys who you entrust with this level of responsibility. You entrust those guys to be an extension of the head coach in the locker room, to continue to preach the message, the singular message that you're all working towards. And I think what you're seeing in guys like Julio Jones and another new addition, Bud Dupree, you're seeing the same kind of responsibility that is essential to have for a position group like, for example, the Titans outside linebackers, where it has been, for the most part, outside of, you know, the sporadic Clowney and Beasley experience, Harold Landry is the most veteran voice of those guys since Brian Arakpo and Derek Morgan departed Nashville. So Bud Dupree, in talking about this yesterday, I really think has the ability to impact it by attitude alone, because he's got a tremendous amount of pressure on him at this point, right? He's not available yet. He's just been paid a ton of money to come here and fix the most glaring problem on this team right now. It's the pass rush. And he could kind of dispel any additional pressure that he would put upon himself, or any additional pressure that the media would put on him, that the fan base would hold him to the expectation of. Because, I mean, you know, you're going through the guy's wallet. You're going through the guy's bank account at a certain point. But instead of kind of shying away from it or dismissing it, I found it really telling that Bud Dupree, in his media availability with us yesterday, was more than willing to accept that responsibility publicly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team effort, you know, but I'm a big part of that. You know, pressure bursts pipes, and or pressure creates a diamond. So, you know, you got to take it at that standpoint. I mean, it's no secret. They got me here for that, to help out with the pass rush. And, you know, I put it on my shoulder, and I wear that hat. While I'm working out in the offseason, while I'm rehabbing right now, getting my knee right, you know, we all know what it is, and that's just part of the business of this game called football. So, you know, I take it upon myself to make sure that I make an impact, and as well as bringing guys up with me, man. You know, the guys who've been here the whole time, as well as, you know, teaching those guys stuff that I learned over the years, and learning stuff from those guys that I may not know. You know, doing different pass rush things along with different trainers and stuff, and just bringing that knowledge to them. And also, you know, if they do something with somebody else, just bringing that knowledge together and constantly communicating on how we want to rush and how we want to be the unit. You know, we want to make sure that we define ourselves before the season of what we want to be, and we have a clear vision and a clear goal of what we're working to. And, you know, that'll make things better, and then we'll have a path and we'll have milestones to hit, and that's how you build it.
Is there a pressure that comes with the money, or is it all just football?
I mean, to me, man, it comes with, you know, you expect to get paid big in second contract. If you're working hard in the first contract, you expect to hit the second contract and get paid. And with that, that doesn't mean you have to go out there and change who you are, because that's what got you paid. So, you know, I just got to go out there and continue to produce like I have. And, you know, and the bigger part of that is just not me producing, it's bringing someone else along to produce as well. So, and then once you're doing that, then it's all worth it.
If you're a Titans fan, you love that answer. That gives you all the feels. It's not a man running from expectation. He's embracing it, but also acknowledging in the same breath that it is his responsibility, not just to produce, but to help elevate the guys around him. That is so critical to the building of this team with the designs that they have to go out and win a Super Bowl. We'll get into more of this on the other side. If you would like to weigh in, you are, of course, more than welcome. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. A lot of Titans talk this morning. We are going to continue the conversation over the course of the show. We're with you till 1, of course. We will circle back around to it more pointedly before Will Compton joins us at 12:20 for his weekly appearance. He's up at Barstool Sports HQ in New York City. Well, I don't know. Like, I was going to say, I feel like Will Compton from Missouri, wherever he's from, backwoods Missouri, would probably stick out like a sore thumb in New York City. But I feel like, you know, the entire dress code of the Barstool Army is oversized T-shirts, short shorts, and Jordans with tall
white shoes,
long white shoes with long white socks with red and blue stripes at the top. Like, I feel like that's the uniform of the Stoolie Army.
It's the starter kit.
Yeah. Whatever happened to those internet like memes of the starter packs? Right. You'd have your basic Tennessee Titans starter pack, and it'd have, you know, a Bud Adams double middle finger, a Jeff Fisher mustache, a Steve McNair, and an Eddie George or something like that.
I kind of like those.
Oh, those were funny as hell. It got me through a whole summer of I feel like that was right around. No, that's been a while. Like that wasn't a quarantine thing. That's been a minute.
Yeah, that was pre-quarantine, because quarantine ushered in like a totally new wave of internet trends that internet, just drowned out anything that happened beforehand.
Internet poison. Shout out Tiger King. Yeah. The starter pack. So we'll check in with the boy from New York City later on then, and we'll get back into the Titans conversation. But we got to talk a little bit about the – and if you want to get involved with the show, 615-737-1045, we would welcome your participation, 615-737-1045. But there's two things that I wanted to make sure that we got to at some point on the radio show today. There is a survey going around, and I saw it from several people – but Josh Breslow, our buddy at WKRN News 2, tweeted it out this morning about, Justin wants to know what the Buck Rising starter kit would be. That's a good question. What would my starter kit be? I'll ask Lucas once he's finished fielding phone calls. I'll come back to that, Justin. Stay with me. Justin on YouTube. If you want to interact with us on the chat, if you want to hang out with us basically in the studio, you can do so on Zone TV, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitter. We welcome all of you. So I'll get back to your starter kit content here in just a second. But I saw this being tweeted out this morning by our buddy Josh Breslow about Nashville drivers and where they rank amongst drivers in other cities around the country. Apparently, according to this survey, there is a, or a survey has been taken that Nashville drivers rank as the 14th best in the country. In what world? I love all of you. I love this city. I love that you have allowed me to live in this city for nearly 6 years. All of you, though, many of you listening to me in your cars, you suck at driving perpetually. That is something I come from. I've lived a bunch of different places in my life. Indiana is the most recent before I moved to Nashville. Indiana for high school and college, and then come down here. So I'm used to bad driving because in the Midwest, people are too hesitant. People are too polite almost. There's a degree of that in the Southeast as well. But Indiana does not hold a candle to how terrible people are on the Nashville roads. Now, I will say, in defense of Nashville, Tennessee drivers, that the vast majority of them are not from Nashville, Tennessee. They're all transplants. Because all the locals live out in Bellmeade or in Franklin or in Brentwood. Because for, 15 years before Nashville started to boom, everybody was moving out to the suburbs instead of moving closer to the city. All the people like me who have come in and poisoned your fair city with our presence and apparently our vehicles absolutely ruining the roadways for the rest of us. Explain to me how Nashville, Tennessee could possibly be considered the 14th best in terms of drivers on the roadways, because I can't explain that for one single solitary second.
I feel like everybody thinks wherever they live has the worst drivers.
Nah, I don't think that's true. I think that in major metropolitan areas, Nashville being one, but not amongst the biggest of them, because I've lived in D.C. in my life. I've lived in New York City. I've lived in New Jersey. I understand. I mean, hell, I've lived in Cairo, Egypt, where there's no lanes. There's no lanes.
And that's the funny thing, too.
So you're swerving in and out like between a donkey cart and stuff like that. But, like, it's all, every man for himself, every man, woman, and child for themselves at that point.
But, like, less accidents happen. Like, it's incredible. Like going to visiting family overseas, like going to Italy or going to Rome, the driving is so chaotic.
Oh, my God.
Going in between lanes, in and out. There's, like, a giant roundabout around the Colosseum where there's just no rules. People are just going insane in and out. But, like, wrecks don't happen. It's unbelievable. Everybody kind of has the same mentality of driving, whereas here there's obviously way more rules, way more lanes, way more structure, but you feel like dumber things happen.
It's what I'm saying. It's, like, it's the most stressful kind of driving here. Because people don't understand spacing, like while you're supposed to stay in your lane unless you're trying to pass. People don't understand that as a concept. People don't understand the requisite distance that you're supposed to keep between you and the car in front of you, so you're not jerking back and forth in a way that, like, makes me feel I'm going to get whiplash from how often I'm braking, because people they see just a little bit of space. They think that's a means for them to go faster when they're not actually making any damn forward progress. They get in front of you, and then it creates havoc for all of the people behind you. It is among the worst things in the world. How in the hell, if this is the state of our country, the state of our country is in shambles anyway, but if this is something to where the rest of the country, there are that many more places that are worse drivers than the city of Nashville, Tennessee, I can't imagine. It causes me great anxiety even to think about.
I mean, the thing you'll see, too, outside of the U.S., like, there's not that many. You don't see that many motorcycles riding around in Nashville, right? But outside of the U.S., like, they're everywhere. And most other countries, at least in Europe, when, like, lanes are clogged up, there's a ton of traffic across four lanes, bumper to bumper. Motorcycles are allowed to use that space in between cars. Like, along where the lane divides, they're allowed to kind of jump the gun and go between cars and ahead of traffic. That's not allowed here. But, again, I feel like more wrecks happen here than in those cases.
Justin on YouTube says most of these drivers' cornbread ain't done in the middle. I like that as analysis. 615-737-1045 if you want to chime in. Fudge, Lil Fudge 07. I like that as a Twitter handle. Lil Fudge. Lil Fudge says less rules for driving makes you pay more attention. I mean, maybe that's true. I don't know. Like, living overseas for as long as I did, and I mean, I'm going to try and say this, Lucas, in a way that doesn't make me sound like a douchebag, okay?
Was it, like, living, or did you just, like, spend 3 weeks there? And, like, when I lived in Egypt.
No, I lived in Cairo, Egypt for, probably I think 3 or 4 years.
Okay, that's total. Right. Yeah.
So living, I mean, when we lived in Cairo, we had a driver. Okay, my family had a driver, and so it wasn't us physically on the roadways, and I wasn't old enough to drive anyway. So it's not like I have any real concept of this, other than seeing all of the, you know, motorcycles and like what do you call them, Vespas and little taxis with luggage racks on the roof of them that look like
Vespas, man.
Look like they're halfway rusted through.
Meanwhile, my dad had a Vespa for a while.
Meanwhile, there's a donkey pulling a garbage cart that's stacked, you know, 3 stories high at this point. This poor, sad little donkey. It's as close as I've been to calling PETA. But anyway, so like I don't have any real life experience driving in overseas traffic because at the time my family had a driver. But for me, I simply do not understand how less rules can mean that you're a better driver because you have to pay more attention. I understand that you have to have your head on a swivel, but also that does not equate better driving to me. That means it brings more stress into your life. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved, because God knows I didn't think we'd be taking this, no pun intended, detour today. But Ike is in Nashville. He wants to weigh in on the traffic. The traffic rankings of the Nashville population. What's going on, Ike?
Brother, I'm good with the 14 rank. What the problem is not with Nashville driving. It's with people outside of Nashville coming to Nashville and trying to drive their city in Nashville.
Ooh, I like that.
You can't drive Detroit in Nashville. You can't drive Houston in Nashville. You can't drive L.A. in Nashville. When in Rome, acclimate to what Romans do. And so we have a pace. We have a consideration. And we have a way that we do things here. If you're coming here, learn those ways.
Yeah, Ike, that is the best possible analysis of the situation. Adapt to your surroundings, because V-Love tweets us, Nashville is a transplant city now, so it's all these carpetbaggers moving here who suck and bring us down. Ike put it in a little more genteel way, a little more diplomacy in that response. But that's exceptional analysis. You can't move from Manhattan and drive Manhattan in Middle Tennessee. It's just not how it's going to go down. You have to adjust to the speed of things here, even if it is not the pace of your life that you're used to. But this, so I'm reading the WKRN News 2 article that was going around yesterday about Nashville drivers being ranked the 14th best in the nation. It's apparently according to a report from a place called Quote Wizard. So I feel like that Quote Wizard being the
seems legit.
The sourcing on that, I feel like, immediately invalidates whatever the hell they just claim to have analyzed. But anyway, we'll come back. It's time for your involvement. We got a pair of tickets to give away to Three Doors Down if you give us the dumbest thing in sports this week. It's our regular weekly Wednesday installment. 615-737-1045 is how you give your dumbest thing in sports this week for a chance to win tickets to see Three Doors Down and Seether. We look forward to your nominees coming up next.